Yo.
Yo.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had to walk up 6 flights of stairs.
You're welcome.
Which is the most substantial exercise I've had all year.
Well, you know, I'm here for you and your health.
Actually, that's not true. I played tennis with Mason a couple of times.
Tennis is good exercise, dude.
Tennis is good exercise.
We were having a riveting conversation about rain and people driving in the rain.
Different types of rain around the country and around, in fact, the globe.
The wet rain and then the willy wet rain. Oh, I swear I haven't been drinking. I swear. Just coffee. That's it.
You said that coffee was strong. I'm sure that's what you meant.
I took a sip of that thing. I almost fell over. I was like, what is in this thing?
I'm just dizzy from walking up the damn stairs.
Oh, man. I'm going to share my screen here.
Continue talking about rain?
Well, you weren't done with your conversation.
I wasn't. I was just saying, Blake was saying that Texas rain is completely different from Oregon rain. Most people who I meet are like, you must be used to this because you grew up in London, but London is not. The rain is not the same as it is in Oregon either. It's way less wet, if that makes sense.
Is it really different? Like I imagine London being
kind of drizzle. It's like a
that's what Oregon is. Literally, Oregon. You get really. This like you wake up and it's gray and just like.
But then you get these big downpours.
Recently, we've had a shit ton of rain. Like
I was in Michigan in the summer last year, and they had this insane rain. It just comes down for like an hour solid and you can barely see through it, but then it just all goes away. It's like Michigan just soaked it up.
Oh yeah, we'll get like half an inch of rain in like 2 hours sometimes. Yeah. Like it is just, and this morning there was one thunderclap out of nowhere at probably 6 this morning that shook our windows in our apartment. Like it sounded, I thought artillery was like hitting like in our apartment complex. It was the loudest thunder I've ever heard in my life.
You've been around artillery a lot there, Blake?
No, never. Yeah. It's what I would imagine artillery would be like.
It's nothing like thunder. You're welcome. Because if you didn't have shit in your pants with artillery around you, okay, it's just thunder. Yeah. Just thunder. When you shit your
you
pants.
You weren't doing artillery correctly.
Yeah. I was in Bosnia and we had this, it was basically, we had a bomb that was dropped outside of our base by our own plane, which they didn't even drop bombs in Bosnia in the first place. This is the weirdest part about the whole thing that went down. So one of our own planes dropped this bomb. Luckily there's nobody around like where our base was. It was literally outside of it, dropped it. There's just middle of the forest. It was no big deal. But we woke up, obviously thought we were being attacked, running around. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it was scary.
I bet.
It was crazy. that was some of the most action in Bosnia that went on. It was our own stuff.
My dad was just telling me that, so, you know, he lives just outside Moscow in the Moscow suburbs. He's like, every week they're still getting drone attacks and they're just like, and I mean, he's never lived in a war zone. He's like in his 70s.
Crazy.
He said that it is incredibly unnerving, but the community has got kind of used to it. It's like, well, there's another drone attack.
Yeah, I've read a lot
Sergei
of books.
Didn't die.
I've read a lot of books of like different wars, like World War II, World War One, that kind of stuff, where people, it's just everyday living at that. Yeah. At a point in time, it just is like, oh, here we go again. I mean,
yeah, the air raid shelters, like during, like, you know, like in Britain, especially like in London and stuff like that. They were just, you went to the air raid shelters multiple times a day.
Siren, and you went and stayed down there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
The Blitz, right?
The Blitz. Look, nobody cares about this stuff. They came here for Bitcoin. You got the one person that's listening. They came to talk about crypto.
Well, they're the one person listening live. A lot of people will listen to this.
It's true. We do get a lot more listeners after the fact, listening on the road.
That's the thing about podcasts, though, right?
And we're not.
People digest it whenever they're ready.
Yeah. And it's not like we're here like, oh, you got to get in. We're not. Look, none of this is financial
advice.
We're
not telling you to day trade.
Yeah. None of this is financial advice, right, Blake?
I'm trying to find my banner.
Where's the sticker? Where's the banner?
You're not going to get a white hot tip that you have to execute right now.
No. That's all on the secret.
Michael
super
Barr
secret
did give me one on Monday, though.
Ooh, what was that?
PB.
Oh, it's legacy markets. Nobody cares. Yeah.
Okay. That's what he does now. He's a legacy market.
Oh, you want
ADM.
I think that's Chris. We got another guest that's going to join us today.
Mr. Blackburn?
No, Chris Fisher.
Oh.
Hey, it's like, how many flights do I got to climb up? Six. Yeah, the elevator's broke. This is riveting conversation right now for everybody. You're welcome.
Wait, what was your what were you telling Michael earlier, Nate?
Which one? I don't know. It's on all
about the stairs.
I don't know. What was I telling him?
That you're not gonna take the elevator?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I told him. What's up, dude? Okay. I'll get you hooked up in just a second. I'll tell the story. So I said I'm not gonna take the elevator at all. And if he sees me take the elevator this year, I owe him $1,000. So just because I was like walking up the stairs, I'm like, I probably should do this anyway because I'm gonna be up. I'm running around the woods and mountains.
Crack the ring cam on the front door. I can watch you 24/7.
You don't even have to. Just talk to Troy. Like, hey, Troy, if you see Nate come in that front door, let me know.
I'm gonna send that text right now.
You see that elevator ding?
You'll be like, oh, I was just testing it.
All right, we're gonna try three peeps in here. Let's see how this works.
I assume we're going to talk about Bitcoin because you've got Bitcoin on the screen.
Well, I mean, you always got to start with the big guys, right? You always got to see where we're at because, I mean, if we start, essentially, we've had a whole bunch of dumping going on. People are afraid this is the end. That was the pump. We're all done with. The bull market's over.
Yep.
And they're right. I mean, we're going to go to zero. So, end of podcast.
It's all falling
apart. Hey, it has been awesome.
It's been good to know you.
Yeah.
Forge and Crypto out. No, I mean, the selling, technically, I'm not a huge fan of this being in the cloud, you know, looking for an edge, but I'm not trading the edge here. There's too much bullish stuff going on. Everybody's like, bullish, everything's selling. Well, essentially all it is not all. GBTC is the big reason here. Them, FTX is fucking us again. You know, they sold $1 billion of their GBTC that they owned. So if people don't know, GBTC was a trust, Grayscale Bitcoin trust, where essentially people would come in, they give them their money, they would buy Bitcoin for it, and it would be locked up for a certain time. I think it was 6 months to a year, depending on what it was. So you couldn't get it out. Now, go through, it used to be trading above NAV, meaning the net asset value, meaning it had a certain amount of Bitcoin it held, and the value of that it traded for, that the ticker, which was a traded over-the-counter for legacy accounts, traded over what their value was. That was during the bull run, the beginning of that bull run, and or right before the bull run. Well, it dipped down and it started to trade at a negative. So there was a negative net asset value. Mm-hmm. So people started to arbitrage. They were arbitraging stuff. There's a whole thread that we posted in the Discord about how people were arbitraging that to make money off of it. Well, essentially what happened in a sense was when you look at this negative net asset value, they had people were saying, well, it's going to come back to even, right? It's going to come back to, you know, where it's trading at an even value. And it was trading at some point in time 40% below.
Right.
So what a lot of this is people, and this is my theory that I've read a few people talking about it, but other people think it's all about the interest rate that they're charging or the rate that they're charging for their ETF. So recently they got their ETF approved too. So what I think most likely is really happening is a lot of people that were in GBTC, whether it was locked up or not, one, were buying it at a negative 30 or 40% or even 20% net asset value, meaning that it was 20% below the value what it was. And once the ETF went through, you know, you could see that narrowing the entire time. Well, the liquidity is there for them to get out because they can't lock it up anymore. So they can just sell it. So if they were, you know, 6 months out or 3 months out or whatever, they could still sell it. And the fact that Bitcoin went up in price, you know, couple those together, you know, a lot of people are getting out just to take that value out. And then the other part is, you know, there were some people that are selling because they're at 2% and BlackRock is sitting at like 0.75 or something along those lines. It's like it's a basis point essentially, mm-hmm. or 1%. So that has been a lot of what's been coming out, and GBTC owns a shit ton of Bitcoin. So you're seeing that outflow there. FTX, they sold $1 billion of their GBTC that they had. Now that they could with the ETF. So that's been sold. So you saw a lot of that selling. And realistically, when we look at, you know, what we've gone from the top to the bottom, it's 21%. And I want people to stop freaking out, because if we go back in time, every bull run that you have, let me zoom in here a little bit so people can see a little bit.
I just want to make sure that you know I wasn't freaking out.
I know you don't. You've been here before.
Yeah.
This isn't your first rodeo.
This is not.
So this is in the beginning. You know, this is in September 2020. Look, that's a 21% dip. You know, this is a, what is that? Another 15% dip. 29% dip.
There was always, when the ETFs got approved, they had to do a lot of acquisition, right? Have to fill the ETFs with Bitcoin.
Well, they did that beforehand. So a lot of them were buying in, like Van Eck bought 75 million worth of their own BTC.
But in the 10 days since the approval, every day, I think it was a couple of them have been adding something a stupid amount of Bitcoin every single day.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So it isn't like they filled it before. They're still filling it. And it was after the ETF approval, and they were taking advantage of the lower
100%
they could get from GBTC.
I mean, I read somewhere that
I only ever think of Bitcoin as a long-term strategy anyway. I don't ever make money on Bitcoin on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. I know you do.
I'll trade it with leverage trades, but Bitcoin I hold. The Bitcoin I have, it's long-term.
Yeah.
But needless to say, we're waiting until that selling is done with. We have a little bit of, on the charts, looking like somewhat of a little turnaround here. I wouldn't bet on it. There's a lot of liquidity in this zone, so which lines up with that edge trade.
Is that your 2120 or 3120? The lines blue and red.
They're a common. That's the Ichimoku. They're
okay.
They're similar in the sense of that, depending on the time frame that you're on. But they are like moving averages, but they have a few other things added into them. So
similar-ish.
Yeah, so this is Chris. So, sorry. This is Chris Fisher. Chris Fisher is a good friend of ours, and we've talked about his project before that he's done. I don't think we've ever talked about the Real Collective yet, have we?
I think so. I think we mentioned it at one point, probably 4 or 5 months ago.
When you talk, Chris, you're going to probably have to get that microphone a little bit closer.
Way close, dude.
Is that better?
It's uncomfortable.
He's like, he's way back.
I'm
like,
I'm just chilling. I'm just relaxing right now.
So I didn't know Chris was going to be on the podcast, but
surprise.
That's fine. This is great, because we have a project that we're meeting after this on that is the Real Collective.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I invited Chris, is because it's all of a sudden got some legs and some momentum and some actual work has been done.
Yeah.
Right? We're moving in the right direction.
So we're not going to talk a ton about the Real Collective here. Give them a breakdown of what it is.
Right now, or do you want to wait?
Yeah, you're here.
Practice that 30 second elevator.
Yeah, where's the elevator pitch? Let's go, dude.
So the Real Collective is...
Nope, do it again.
No. On this podcast, what's the etiquette on F-bombs here?
Oh, dude, nobody cares.
Drop them all. Fuck it.
I do every single podcast. I try hard not to, but sometimes I just am my normal self.
So the 20-second elevator pitch is the Real Collective is aimed at being a film co-op where the community is here to help support and...
on the spot. You're welcome, dude.
This is shit.
Do you even know what it's about?
I do.
it's basically a DAO fund that funds film and television production. Chris is a documentary maker for the most
filmmaker,
part.
Yeah.
Filmmaker, heavily leans towards documentaries about wildlife. Been in the business for a long time. We have a couple of well-established partners that are joining the DAO and joining the administration team. And the hope is to raise. Did I just die? What happened?
No, you're good. I don't know. The buzzing went away.
Yeah, the buzzing went away.
It's back.
It's just really there to help filmmakers who usually who get caught out in the cold from the industry as is. What?
Yeah, you're good.
Doing better than you.
Killing. Let me make it easy for everybody.
Fun film and TV projects.
Yes. But the reality is it's much like the gaming industry with people that are trying to get into the gaming industry. It's like music. There's a lot of talented people out there that do a lot of cool shit. They bring films together and they don't know either how to monetize it. How do they get to the right people, the right places? They don't have the right connections internally with, you know, just all aspects from the ground up, from creating that film or putting it out to the people. So they're having a hard time like getting that there. And this is a place where it's there to support that community, specifically that community of film and whatnot. And there's a whole lot of cool films that are essentially are going to be put into the collective. That
there's already seven projects.
Might have picked up two more yesterday from pretty established filmmakers. Sounds like so. I'll know more about those in a couple of days. But yeah, I mean, the idea is, I mean, helping people fill in those gaps with whether it be financing or support or anything that you know helps projects get off the ground. So
yeah, that's the basics. We'll go into much more detail later on when we actually
have another right pitch.
Yeah. So look, I was caught by surprise. You're going to be here too, but we got to talk about it if you're here. So
and now we're done.
Back to shit coins.
Back to shit coins.
That's what everybody's here for.
Pond coin.
Look, that's a lasagna special.
And Fluxbot is the two I want to talk about.
All right. So let's pull up PNDC, which, by the way, I have done the least amount. Like, if people really want to know about this, talk with Lasagna, man. He's someone that shilled this shit to me. So it is a very... I don't even know how to talk about it.
It meets one of your criteria, and I can spot it immediately. And I
which is
the to max supply is 420 billion 689. So there's like one missing.
There's one missing. So they were really close. I like how they tried to get there. You know.
Yeah.
They worked on it. Essentially, it looks like a lot of like liquidity pool pushing. You know, if you.
That's something to do with staking.
You stake this, you get this. Way too much in the terms of like, we saw this in the last bull run. People were trying to create yield off of, it was the snake eating its tail. There was real no like actual utility that came from this. I'm fully disclosing, I have not done the research on this. I bought some when Lasagna told me about it, purely on the fact that it had a lot of people that are going to shill it and it probably was going to pump. And it did. Right.
Yep.
Okay. I've
done just fine on it.
Now they just recently opened up staking, so you can stake it. I literally locked mine up for 36 weeks. I might lose it all because who knows what's going to happen with it? Because I don't think it has legs with what my small amount of research I've done with it. It does not seem a lot there. Again, Lasagna's done a lot more to it. If you guys have questions, talk to him.
The thing is, though, any of these projects that come out, and yes, they are essentially derivative projects, right? They're creating value on other value that was created elsewhere, and it's the snake eating its tail. But what ends up happening with the shit coins that get traction is they suddenly get money, and then some other concepts become viable because they can fund their development. And you just never know, right? Bonk is one of those, and so is Sheep.
Yep.
Sheep is a shitcoin, came out, got a bunch of money. Now it has utility because they built in some utility and got some development, and they're just using that.
They have utility?
Some.
It's funny with these utilities. I mean, it's the same way with the whole NFT sales, man. People are like, oh, buy my Bored Ape. It's a stupid ape picture. Well, they had zero utility. They had zero anything of what they were planning on doing. They made a shit ton of money, and they're like, well, let's build something on this. And they made a really crappy game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I've done. So, I mean,
it was like early Zoo World, right?
I don't even know what it is, man. There, I actually own one now.
Did you follow the Zoo World thing? What's his name?
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul and KSI.
He got CoffeeZilla'd good.
Yeah. Like 3-part series on what a freaking scam it was.
He's and a total he's, piece of shit.
I love it.
You heard it here from Blake. Also, did you want to take that to the ring? No. I agree with you. He's
he'd beat the hell out of me, but I can sit here behind a screen and say what I want.
He'll never find you in deepest Arkansas where you are.
Exactly.
Yes. So let's talk about snake eating his tail, because I have done some research on this one. Gladiator in our Discord. He's kind of turning into our own little kind of research analysis. I've got given him some decent access into some communities, and he's going to help work on some stuff. This was not from one of those communities. I guess it kind of was. But Fluxbot is a 100% snake eating its tail right now. When you look at, let me see if I can pull up what they talked about a few things in here. Maybe it's not going to work. So essentially what they're trying to do, here it is. So this is the write-up that he did. If you follow him on Twitter, you can look it through what it says. So a few additional points. So it says, this is from the Fluxbot team, or the Fluxbeam team, sorry. A few additional points. FluxBee holders who have more than 1,000 FluxBee tokens get paid out in reflections 2 times per day, every day. It's 50% of the tokens. We have a lot more utility coming. So they haven't said any of the actual utility. When you read what they actually do in terms of what the tokenomics, right? So there's 500 million. They have a tax. So every time you buy it, you get taxed the 3% on Solana. The tax is then distributed back to the holders, the LP, the team, and then the Fluxbot services. So they have an actual bot in Telegram as well. So this is, the 3% thing is it's not sustainable for price increase. There's no real utility that's here yet. I mean, it's not something I would highly recommend anybody to go and dive into in terms of utility for a token. Now, with that said, they have a site which is apparently not working right now, because I tried to pull it up earlier. Let's see if it's doing now. It is not working, but
rug pull.
It's gone. Watch out. Take your money out. It was working just fine. You were able to create tokens, like very easy way to create tokens on the Solana blockchain. You can create NFTs on the Solana blockchain. You can set up LPs. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they can do with it. It's pretty slick. But none of that is tied into their tokenomics. None of that is tied to any, like, the utilities there. They have a website that works great. Mm-hmm. Tie the utility into that, like you can. Whether they're going to do that or not, I don't know. So, but it's taken off. It's doing its thing. I know there is a popular YouTube guy out there that is probably going to be talking about it at some point in time here. He's the one that shilled it to his internal group, which he's trying not to make it a pump and dump scheme, but the way he's going about it, it's going to turn into that. Unfortunately, he's great. Like, his analysis, it's James with Invest Answers, right? I'll just put it out there. His analysis on anything is the best out there. I would say when you look at any of the stuff that he puts in the, like, so much effort in looking at tokenomics, you know, where people are holding it, what it actually does, and everything like that. So one of the people in his group talked about this one, and people bought it, and it kind of jumped up already, and then it's kind of gaining traction. So it's doing its thing.
So historically, as you know, you do a lot of technical analysis. I look at the logo and I'm like,
I love it. It's got a dog. I'm in.
that seems like that's going to do fine just because of the way it looks. Fluxbot's one of those. Actually, I looked at it.
Oh, you like the logo?
I like the way it's branded. I think, I'd love to see the website working.
Me too. I was just using it last night.
Look at the icon and Fluxbot actually seems like one of those that could be around for a bit.
All right, man. I'm with you. I actually own some as well. I bought some in that first little pump when I heard about it through the other group. I was like, I'll jump in, just get a little bit here.
I bought some right after you texted me about that.
it's an interesting one. Like, I don't know. But this goes back to what you're saying is these people, they launch these projects. They get some semblance of runway with people liking it, and it starts to make money, you know, whether it's a shitcoin or not, you know, and now they can add utility.
Utility comes second, doesn't have to come first in some of these.
Unfortunately, that's You're with right. most of these crypto projects that actually, like, try to do anything, you know, good for people is it's they bring that utility later.
So then talk to me a little bit about how do they get started if there's no utility in the beginning.
I mean, anybody can make a coin. Like I said, they actually have it on their site to literally just make a token, and you can make a website and say, hey, here's how cool we are. Like, let me give this. And for them, they're promising return on you buy their token, right? Mm-hmm. So Now you're going to get, every time somebody else buys a token, a percent of that, 3% of that is a percent of that percent is going to go back to you because you own and hold that token. So people have to continually buy this and transact into it to be able to get this to keep going. So there's no real, like, there's no utility there. This is, reminds me of
Strong
Notes. Thank you. Yes, exactly. Like, oh, you buy this and you run this. You pay us to run this, like, every month. Oh, by the way, that's part of that's going to get distributed.
Did they mention downlines at any point? Make sure your downline is strong.
Exactly. Exactly. It's too bad. So many of these damn projects are just like,
triangular in nature, naturally.
What if they?
yes, very much. What?
What's their market cap right now?
33 million.
33 million.
Oh, that's their FDV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Market caps. But I put it up on the other one, Coin Market Cap.
Oh yeah.
They still got good money in.
I don't know. It didn't look like that was huge. It was 380. Well, the trading volume on it was 380,000 in the last 24 hours.
380,000.
Yeah.
That's not huge. Pretty small. Huge,
yeah. It's still trading. I accounted for some of that. So.
Market cap is
29.9 million.
So 30 million. Okay. Yeah, I might have to go to Coin Market Cap from now on. I kind of like their layout better than CoinGecko. I used Coin Market Cap back in like 17, 18, yeah. And then I switched to Gecko.
Coin Market Cap, and then I went over to CoinGecko. And I think it was only because it was. I tell you why it was. I used to use FTX as a portfolio tracker. And then I got rid of that.
Blockfolio, actually.
Oh, Blockfolio. Before it was FTX. Yeah, so it was Blockfolio and then FTX. And I think I went to CoinGecko because it was the one that listed Gala first, I guess, or was picking up Gala's market.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
That was one that. Oh, it was the one that Gala was always using as well. It was CoinGecko. But I like both. I do CoinMarketCap as well.
Blake, are you watching the chat? The way with three people here, I have. It's hard for me to do that. I need you to watch the chat for me in case I'm missing something.
Yeah, I was working on. Said, why is the guy in the hat freaking out?
Which one?
It's probably both of you.
Smiling as around.
I said it out loud. I'm not freaking out.
All right. So Bitcoin. Travis asked, are we going to talk about the Pick'em contest? Yes, we are. We are going to talk about it. And Blake has all sorts of updates that are not updated.
Only issue I'm having. So. I mean, I guess I can just show you guys.
Well, they all have access to the.
Oh yeah, I guess everyone. So the only, I can give a rough, I guess, list of the top people. Part of the problem is right now is the way we're pulling the current prices. A couple of the tokens are wrong. So like HOT is pulling the wrong HOT token. So I need to go through and just, there's a couple people I'm going to be reaching out to confirm what token they were initially talking about, just to confirm that that was the one I initially listed, like through contract address, and then verify that we're pulling the correct data, because some of them are giving, you know,
right, because right now we have to do it manually because some of it's not pulling correct. So we have it all in there, everybody has access to it on the actual
So I went through and each person has their own,
you're in last place
again. Each person has their own individual page on the Excel document or in the Google Doc, essentially, for their portfolio. And essentially what we're doing is, depending, say you picked four tokens, just to explain kind of our math behind it, because of the ability to, like, you know, if you want to swap out a token and pay an extra $50 or whatever, you know, how do we, okay, well, when is that swap worth something? How is that going to work? So essentially what we did is, if you picked four tokens per se, you have $100 was your portfolio. So you put $25 into each token at the start date. That gives you, you know, the quantity of those tokens held. And then we just compare that quantity with the current price to see, okay, is that over or less than your original investment value?
You can pull mine up if you want, Blake.
Let me...
I mean, everybody likes a bit
of loss
point, right?
We shouldn't. So what we'll do with that, once we get that dialed in for everybody and the same...
Are you Crypto Mesh?
Yeah. The one, the only.
Then with that, we'll be able to pull from each of those individuals and actually put an actual leaderboard, which we will hopefully get Deadly on here to add. He doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to ask him right now if he can pull and like put an actual like leaderboard Discord bot in there. That'd be sweet.
it'd be easy enough because I'm basically, you know, it's just not to get too, it's just all VLOOKUP tables, just cross referencing everything. So it'd be easy enough to put it in one singular place that we could pull that final data from.
It's just a matter of, we got so many other projects going on. We're just,
there's just a lot. So for example, you're not doing very good. So this is your current. So you're down about, you know, half ish.
Damn. Okay. What was it? Where were his picks? Oh yeah. He's got bull. Oh yeah. WorldCoin.
Just you wait.
So
wait, do you have Aqua Goat? Did you have Aqua Goat?
No.
What is that last one? I can't read it.
AGIX.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Aqua Goat though.
So just so you guys, this is each individual page will essentially look like this. I'll go through eventually and make it look a little bit prettier, but
I just want to put it out there. This token here is gonna be the one that wins it for me.
Hog with hat.
Yeah. I'll tell you. This one right here.
Yeah, Whip's been ripping. I think on that alone, let me see.
I think I'm up like 50% at least, 100% on that one.
On Whiff? Yeah, you're up. Yeah, you're up almost 100% on it. So for example,
Oh, yeah. Because I switched out. I'm one of the ones that paid to switch one out.
Yep. So just to walk everyone through, you know, of those listening. So how that worked is essentially he swapped. Actually, I'll just show.
Yeah, just show it.
Yeah, just show it so I can just to make sure we're bearing.
I did not.
So it looks a little bit different.
I was in this room and you didn't make picks.
You went on the pick'em?
I was not on the pick'em.
So these were his original picks. On the 17th, he wanted to swap cake for link. So essentially what I just did was, okay, what was that cake price compared to the original cake price? What was the value of that? You know, originally his value of cake was $25. So instead of putting that $25 into link, he ended up putting in, you know, 20.94 into link to get this amount, which is worth this at the current value. So that's how kind of how that swap works. So I know Lasagna had a swap as well, but he's his was one of the ones with I need to make sure with his portfolio I have the right token selected.
There's a couple of you out there that pick some like legit real shit coins,
like this
nobody shit. Even knows what you're talking about.
I'm like, how? Well, that was the one with like the Bitcoin one when I just put in BTC and everyone was like, no, it's Bitcoin, Harry Potter, Osama.
Harry Potter, Obama, Sonic.
Something. I was like, oh God.
Where did let's see. So Chris Blackburn posted something in here. Oh, never mind. I won't pull that one up. We'll figure it out later. But anyways, there's some super, super shitcoins that are in there.
There's a couple top tier shitcoins.
Like, I mean, they're not even in the top 10,000 of like market cap.
Damn. Cool. I just made it up in my bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. They made the token. They're like, this token, here's the contact address. There's zero value. So, and there was a few of you that put out ones that weren't dropped yet. And so we made that call. It was in the Discord that you cannot add those until it actually is dropped. So once it's dropped, you can add that token to it once it's tradable, essentially, like once there's an LP that's out there that you can actually get a price from. Wow. So
gotta be real.
Yeah, like E-Time was one of the ones specifically I know.
Yeah, and that one again, there's a liquidity pool for it in terms of Gala, but it has literally zero liquidity, so you can't really get a price from it. So I was trying to add to it the other day, is the only reason I know. But I mean, once it actually gets a solid price to be able to add to that, then add it, you know.
Yeah. Well, super.
So this is one that was given to me I actually bought some of this. I didn't put it as my pick. By Old Man Smithers. He was just telling me about kind of what they were doing. And then technically I kind of liked where it's at. I bought it in kind of where it's currently sitting right about now. It's kind of when I started to buy it. But technically, it looks great. Like for me, you're looking at a.
What does it do?
It's a gaming side of things. Let me pull it up here. And supposedly there was some talk and chatter about it getting. It's Superverse, I think. Yeah.
Superverse. Yeah.
That there was some big big name people that were going to start talking about it. And there were some partnerships that were supposed to be coming about. I don't know if that came through. But that's one that I bought in my own personal account and looked into it a little bit. And I was like, I'll throw a little bit out here. I haven't really done anything with it. Super Farmers now Superverse DAO. As the industry has evolved, so has the protocol. Welcome to the new era. Oh, the one token to govern them all. It's the super token.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Finally.
Finally, we got that one token.
Finally got that one token to rule them all.
I gotta look into it more. I'm talking out of my ass for this one. I have no clue. Old Man Smithers should talk about it. Let's play. Maybe not. Oh, there it goes. Apparently my internet's great here.
No? You want me to do it?
I don't know. Try it.
I have better upload. Okay, wait, so what's it?
Superverse.cool. But anyways, that was one of the ones that was on here. Technically, I really liked what it was looking for. It's kind of moving, you know, you're seeing almost, you can't say an inverse head and shoulders since usually that's a bottom turnaround thing, but it kind of has this support zone in the 55 cent range. And then top of the cloud, you're still bullish. You haven't had a TK cross yet, but it's getting close. Should probably move away from that, and it's going above both of those, the baseline and the conversion line. Technically, it looks good. I like it. I like it for a move. But it's already moved a shit ton. If you look here, I usually stay away from some that have moved this much. I mean, what is that?
I just bought some. Sorry.
I love it. Yeah, it's already up 700%.
700%.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, tread with caution. Let's look at the long term on this bad boy. Not much. It hasn't been around for too long in that sense here. But, I mean, for a short term trade, I'm in. Just because it's crypto. Okay, it's moved 700%. Can it move more? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shit moves 200,000%. Yeah. Like, but, you know, you got to proceed with caution. You get these big pumps.
Max supply on it.
Let's see here. So, a market cap's 272 million. It is ranked what, 185?
See, I like those tokenomics. They look good to me.
Well, I mean, we don't really know what the tokenomics are. You're just going off these. Yeah.
It's just under a billion of them in max supply. Circulating is about half of that, and market cap's at 272 million. 273 million.
Yeah, I mean it's.
There's,
I mean,
value there.
There's play. There's room to play around in for sure. So, am I going to long term hold it? Probably not, because I don't know what it is. It's just something that I'm going to play around with, see what I can do. I started to
degenerate every week, Nate.
Unfortunately, and you know the best place to be a degenerate is the Sol blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's a Wild West shit show right now.
So everybody that was playing or missed ETH in the terms of like, oh, I didn't get in on these cheap ass NFTs or these shit coins and all that kind of stuff. It's that Sol is the place. Yep. Sol is the place right now. Like, super cheap, super fast, easy to maneuver around in. And the protocols there, when you look at like Magic Eden, 10 times better than OpenSea. When you look at Jupe protocol, 100 times better than Uniswap, right? Any of these protocols that you're looking at that are on Solana right now are built way better than anything that's on ETH. Like ETH, it's just too much. Nobody wants to put money into it. So I love it, man. I'm all in on Sol, the Sol protocol. I've been degenning all sorts of shit.
I have been too.
Well, and I got my Sol phone.
You got the Sol phone arrived?
Yeah, dude. Got the Sol phone. So this is great.
How much was it? 30 million bonk on it?
Have 30 million bonk. Yes. Mm. I had a few other drops. I sold those into Solana, and then I got some Chonky, some Monkey, some Print Protocol, which sucks because now every 2 minutes I get Sol dropped to me, and it's not enough. It's like you're getting 0.00000000 whatever. But when I look under my activity, it's literally, you probably can't see it. It's too far away, but it's all green. Because every 2 minutes I get Sol dropped me, so it shows plus, but you don't see anything else that's on there. Huh. I mean, a ton of NFTs have been dropped to me, like, you know, Pixel Shark, which actually has some value.
Build quality like? Because it was expensive as shit, wasn't it?
Well, it's normally $1,000 phone.
Can I feel it?
Yeah, mess around with it. It's not. I mean, it's not bad for everything that's on it. I mean, it works great. It's heavy, which some people hate, but I actually prefer heavy. I haven't taken. I've taken a couple pictures with it. The camera's decent. I'm an Apple guy, so me having to like change over to that platform is gonna be a nightmare. So right now I basically just use it as a iPad type of situation. The interesting part is too is it uses the Helium protocol. We should pull that up because they're using the 5G Helium network that you can, so you get, it's $20 a month if you wanted to use it, but you get the first month free. So you're actually using cell service to make calls and stuff through the Helium network and their 5G network, which is interesting because Helium was one of those nodes back in the day that were one people were super excited about creating its own mesh network. Physical node that you put
in a location. And we, even here in Salem, we were looking to get.
Correct. Well, we own 32 of them through BlackHarp.
Physically.
None of them are installed anywhere. Chris has them sitting in his warehouse somewhere. Really? But let me pull it up here. Let's see here. HNT. Yeah.
I still have an HNT bag.
So I don't know. So there's Helium Mobile that was on there too. I don't know if they changed over to that. Let's see there. So let's go. So they have and this was back in the day too. They're talking about adding their 5G network to it. So there's a few things that they came out that they were totally bullshitting people on. They said there was that scooter company, little electric company, Bird. Yeah. I think they came out and said, yeah, we have, we've basically partnered with these guys. They're going to use our network to, you know, run all their shit on there, which was bullshit. And there's a couple other ones that they came out and essentially they were lying about, but they're still around. They're added 5G. We actually were looking at NerdNode in the get-go was adding the ability to run a Helium node through the NerdNode nodes that we're going to send out with the 5G network itself. The couple of the guys that we have working with us were deep into that 5G side of things, both Ben and Chris and their old stuff. So we're going to add that same thing to it. We still might add that into it just to piggyback on this type of resource because they got 40,000 in the first or 30,000 in the first 24 hours of the Soul Phone 2 orders, right? That's not that many in terms of like
wasn't
overall.
150,000 on the waiting list for Soul Phone 1 though?
Yes. So they have a bunch of orders. The Soul Phone 2 is not coming out until 2025. Like they're all back ordered. You know, people are selling these for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on eBay.
It's like a Kickstarter at this point.
Yeah, I mean they've got the wheels behind it to get it in. The thing that I love about this that I'm excited, if you start talking about Helium, you start talking about the 5G network that it could utilize, but this is onboarding for Soul. Like literally you have the Phantom wallet here. You can get in and you use the I'll show it to you here. You're going to love this. So just internally on the phone, you've got Jupiter, Radium, Magic Eden. You click on any one of those, you can look at how easy it is and how nice it looks. So that's built into the Phantom app on the phone itself. It's there. This is the onboarding for, you know, the everyday user kind of stuff. Because guess what? They just airdropped you this crypto. It's not like you have to go to Coinbase, buy it, send it over here. Nope. You just got in here so you can mess around with it, right? The other part is this is marketing genius 101. Couple things. They have people that are building on this specifically for this, so everybody's like, build the dApps for this, right? The dApps, whatever you want to call it. So a ton of people are building stuff because they have a market for this right now. Everybody has an NFT
system as well. It's a completely native system within the device. So
well, and everybody has the Genesis NFT that comes with the phone, right? It's this, nobody can see it here, but Blake should be pulling all this up. He's just sitting back there watching porn or
something.
I don't know what he's doing. But I can't show my phone on here.
Lost porn. From
So everybody gets the Genesis NFT that's on there. So that one is stuck. It's in that wallet. You can't transfer it, right? Well, guess what I have if I'm somebody that wants to market something to somebody? I have a list of people that are now basically indoctrinated into the Soul blockchain. And I have every single address that owns that NFT that I can airdrop to. That's why you see these airdrops coming all the time. A real thought out marketing plan to market to those people is fucking huge. Mm-hmm. Like the people that leverage that ability there, they're going to make a lot of money and they're going to have a good protocol. Watch those people that come out with a good product.
It's native to the phone. So you're going to be getting two click freaking action
calls.
It's like, oh, hey, look, here's this opportunity. You're getting it first because you have a cell phone. Click here to accept. And then you're
exactly.
Just, well, and from a marketing perspective, it's like, oh, you release something, you know, you have 30,000 users or whatever that, you know, it's like people who have the cell phone are probably going to engage in any of those activities that are pushed towards them because they have the phone, you know.
I think we're only at 20,000 right now.
Okay. But it's like, you know, still, I mean, you're like, okay, I know I have 20,000 people that have easy access to what I want to create. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah. And everything that's getting dropped now that I see so far are just, it's bullshit. It's like, okay, like there's nothing really there that has any kind of like utility yet. Again, they're just dropping stuff and maybe they have something in the roadmap. I haven't researched everything that's been dropped to me because there's been a bunch. I mean,
chunky.
I've got Toad's Valley. I've got Smoke Break, Silly Dragon Saga, Slimes of Saga, Saga Holders, Saga Gods. You know, I've got the Roaring Tiger, the Purple Squirrel. These are all the things that are on there. It sounds like I just went into a weed shop.
It does.
So I see here.
Go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
It says that, you know, you get 1 month of free access to Helium Mobile.
Yep.
And then is that what you said? It was 20 month a dollars?
It's 20 bucks a month after that, yeah.
For like unlimited 5G?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's cheaper than any.
But it's through the Helium network, so you're using Helium. I don't think it's going
to
get the coverage. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get the coverage. I haven't tried it yet.
So I wonder if there's going to be an ability to, like, could you take this phone to Verizon and be like, hey, I want to add this to the network?
Yeah.
Or like, I want to add this to my plan.
Yeah, you just get a SIM card and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Get whatever SIM card you want. Like I've got a couple AT&T SIM cards at home that I can just throw in there.
And use
AT&T. So, but I mean,
are they in your safe with your multiple different passports? Oh, they are. Look,
maybe.
When I was in Bosnia.
But yeah, I mean, again, the phone is what it is. I just think there's an opportunity that has not been used yet, and that protocol,
but then a lot
that
of crypto came
company,
from the reverse engineering.
100%
is the Internet of Things, broke blockchain technology, and we're coming full back full circle where more and more devices are going to have native Web3 blockchain technologies built in from the very beginning, and they're obfuscated from the user, which is what we need.
Yep.
Instead of having to train people how to use, you know, wallets and private codes,
100%.
It's just all right there, and it's using biometrics to.
Yep.
To I mean, say, what's good, okay. And what would be great too is, you know, you look at something like Venmo or something. If they seriously, like, or PayPal are able to integrate, you know, crypto transfers, it's going to go.
You know what it's going to be? It's X.
Or yeah, X. Yeah.
Well, he says that fame is coming right this year, right?
They have, yeah. They actually have the.
The PayPal CEO also said that huge news is coming on the 25th, so tomorrow. It hasn't really alluded to what it is.
Huge news, though.
When is it tomorrow?
Huge news.
Yeah.
There was. Did you see that report about the 500 million crypto users? Like that. I mean, it's a spurious estimation, but they're saying like 1/16 of the planet's population has used or does use crypto.
Uses crypto or owns crypto?
I don't know. I didn't go that.
There's a difference. There's a difference because a lot of people I know own crypto.
Mm-hmm.
But not many people use it.
Yeah. I think any interaction with a cryptocurrency is probably their low bar for you meet the criteria for the statistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still a huge number.
For sure. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just talking to friends last night. You know, good friends of mine from high school I see them every year, which is great, you know, but, you know, we live in different cities across the state. And he knows I'm in the crypto. So he's like, hey, I've done this and this and this. And I was like, where'd you get all that? And he's like, from your podcast. I was like, oh shit, take that all with a grain of salt, dude.
So yeah, but he said verbatim, the PayPal CEO, that they're going to shock the world on January 25th.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Like shutting down.
Yeah. We've integrated with X. We are now X.
I mean, Elon made it.
Oh yeah,
he created PayPal. So shit, I wouldn't.
Bye, Devin. Yeah, you want to go let him in? Thanks.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Man. Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here in about five or less than. But let's get a podcast. Let's see, what is this, the 24th? So we're gonna do a podcast next week, whether it's with Michael or not. And we're gonna be very specific and show like leaderboard stuff. And I'm gonna give out, actually, maybe we should do it on the first. Let's do it on the first.
That's a week. Or wait, is there?
Well, essentially, so what we can do is we can show who won for the month, and then I'll send out.
So Thursday would be the first.
Yeah. So Thursday is the first. So we can, I'll send out the.
Are we not in Austin at that time?
Right. No, it's the next week.
It's the following week. Following week. That's right. Okay. So yes.
Yeah.
The first.
Can you do the first?
I can.
Sweet. All right. Well, we've got a meeting. So let's end it here. We're going to do one next week, and we're going to do very focused on the pick'em, and we're going to go over people's picks. We're going to show who did what and who was the leaders and how come Michael was
the biggest winners and losers.
Coiling.
Yeah. So anyone that wants to go check their sheet, they're all just named at the bottom. You might show like a little bit of funky information right now, just because I'm got those couple little tokens we need to work out, but
yep,
it'll be easy enough to do. So yeah, we'll have it ready to rock and roll for you guys.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Take it easy.
Bye.